Now,
the rest of the story. Betty Nesmith was frustrated, fed up. After all of these years, she had the job that she wanted, but now she couldn't handle it because of one obstinate obstacle, a nasty, newfangled invention called the electric typewriter. Well, since then, of course, a generation has grown up knowing nothing else. And a subsequent CRT screen generation is growing up regarding electric typewriters as antique. But this was 1951, and in those days, only the most executive of executive secretaries were privileged to perform on an electric typewriter. Or, Betty Smith would have said, cursed to perform on one. She was 27, she was divorced, had a 9-year young son to rear. Betty had worked her way up through the ranks of office jobs. Now she'd been hired as executive secretary to W.W. Overton, the chairman of the board of the Texas Bank and Trust Company, one of Dallas's leading businessmen, a respected banker, president of a prominent sugar brokerage company. Overton could have selected any of 1,000 secretaries to assist him, and he chose Betty, and Betty was very proud, and yet now, at the zenith of her career aspirations, she's stymied by this mechanical monster. Well, I can sympathize. I remember my own less than smooth transition from the solid, reliable, plain old typewriter to the one with 110-volt tail. But anyway, Betty was utterly confounded by the contraption. It seemed as though it should be easier to operate, and it was faster. In fact, it was too fast, staggering the rhythm that she had established on manual typewriters. She felt awkward, as though she were learning to type all over again, and there was yet another problem. Any manual typewriter she'd ever used had a fabric ribbon. A few strokes with an eraser and an error was obliterated. But these so-called improved machines used a carbon ribbon, which meant that no matter how carefully she rubbed, her eraser would merely smear the carbon ink on the page. Well, this is the rest of the story. Betty had a part-time job doing artwork, some of it for the Texas Bank. She had once helped design the cover for an annual report, but this day she was making a sign for the front of the bank. She stepped back to admire her completed project, and it dawned on her. An artist rarely corrects his mistakes by erasing. He paints over his errors. An artist paints over his errors. And thereafter, Betty Nesmith began bringing a small bottle of tempera water-based paint to the office. She began painting out the numerous typing errors wrought from her newfangled electric typewriter. Well, the rest is office supply history. For years you've known the product Betty brainstormed and first mass-produced in her kitchen and then transformed into a personal fortune of $47 million. You've known it as liquid paper. And yet until now, you may not have known where some of that $47 million went. Some of it went to finance the musical education of her young son, the young son who served as her first manufacturing assistant when he was but a boy. Her income from that invention financed her son's musical education, and Michael Nesmith, her son, then struck it rich on his own as the handsome-faced singer in the rock and roll quartet called The Monkees. And now you know the rest of the story.